In the beginning, there was nothing. Then there were comic books. Once you enter our world, there is no escape. Comic exposure begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Comic Exposure Podcast. My name is Josh, and with me, as always, is my friend who I would get stuck in a bath of cosmic rays in outer space with. The one, the only.
It's the Fantastic 40! Travis no. Ratz here.
Travis Ratz getting older. The podcast getting older. And we're here with you on the Comic Exposure Podcast, where Travis and I dive deep into graphic novels or trades, or on an episode like this one, a variant edition, as we like to call it, because we grew up in the 90s when everything was a variant. We are talking about the Fantastic Four, Travis. The Fantastic Four, because Marvel dropped news of the Fantastic Four, who's going to be in it. We were finally in the Fantastic Four in the Marvel Cinematic Universe after... And I think this conversation is going to dive into maybe our fatigue with superhero movies as well, maybe a little bit. Mm-hmm. And if this is going to excite us or not, but we want to talk a little bit. And then Travis and I have never really read. Well, I think we're going to talk about that on this show. We've never read the Fantastic Four. We read Silver Surfer, but we've never read a Fantastic Four book. We've done this book for we've done this podcast for a long time without. Yeah. A Fantastic Four hole.
The only one that I went and read was when we did the wedding issues last February. We kind of took different approaches, and I had gotten a collection of wedding episodes, and I think I briefly talked about the Reed Richards Sue Storm wedding, but that is the only Fantastic Four hole that I stuck my little pinky in, wiggled it around.
You know what? I have Fantastic Four Grand Design.
I did read some of that. We were going to do that.
And that was the toughest one of his to read.
It was one of the toughest comics I've ever read.
I think it's just so much of the Fantastic Four have been around for so long. There's just so much convoluted science fiction with it that when I think about Superman's been around for a long time, but you can throw everything that Superman did for most of his comic book career out the window, it doesn't matter.
Right? Most of his comic book career is just reimagining his origin story.
Yes, yeah. But the Fantastic Four is this long family saga of science and weird stuff and villains and all of this, and I don't have a whole lot of knowledge on it.
But we are aware.
But they're always there. They're always there.
And I think that's
I've seen the movies. I've seen every one of the movies before now.
So you've seen the movies. I feel like I could sit in a conversation with Fantastic Four. I'm not sure why, but I'm interested about talking to you very quickly at the beginning. Yeah, yeah. What's your previous, where have you touched base with the Fantastic Four in your life?
So I'm quite sure that as a youth, I had some Fantastic Four books, right? I'm sure there's a lenticular cover somewhere with the Human Torch on it that I had at some point, right?
When you're going to the store and just picking up all the Marvel books on the rack. Yeah, it was like, oh, I got to get the new X-Men. Oh, I'm going to check out this Fantastic Four because X-Men on the cover.
And I would tell you, that's probably most of my Fantastic Four knowledge is when they would show up in another book or when they would come in on the Avengers or when an Avenger would become a member of the Fantastic Four.
That's a big one.
When Spider-Man's a member of the Fantastic Four, when She-Hulk is a member of the Fantastic Four. I think I read a bizarro run of the Fantastic Four where Allred does the art on it, but the Fantastic Four wasn't the Fantastic Four. It was like She-Hulk and Ant-Man and I'll have to look it up, but there was a version where Mike Allred drew the Fantastic Four, and I did read part of that run probably 13 years ago, 10 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, I'm the same. If I were to pull out my long boxes, which I don't think I'll ever do, I don't even want to start looking through there. I'm sure I'd find a couple dozen Fantastic Fours. But another one was, I believe it was the Hanna-Barbera cartoon. I think that was the producers of it. I did watch that in the summers when I would go over to like a family member relatives and we'd stay for like dinner one night or like a week visit and they had the Cartoon Network, that's a dream, man. They would just like, right. Parents would go drink cocktails and I would sit and watch Cartoon Network and the Fantastic Four. I remember watching a lot of those then.
So here's what I read. Here's what I had to read. I remember because I read it because Mike Allred did the art. It was just called FF, not Fantastic Four, but it was She-Hulk.
Hey, Josh, reduced... language. Come on. We decided years ago this is more of like kind of like a family.
Not dirty. So it was it's She-Hulk, Ant-Man, Medusa from the Inhumans, and then someone who has the Thing's rock body, but it's not the Thing. So it's...
certainly not me these days, I'll tell you that. His body is soft.
It was written by Fraction with art by Allred.
That makes sense. You picked it up.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember something with FF on it as the like coming out. And I was like, oh, that's, I see what they're doing. They're just going to make it cool. Acronym it.
Let's just have fun with it. It's not your dad's Fantastic.
Well, let's see how good you are at the Fantastic Four,
okay.
Josh.
Okay.
So I went online, looked up some Fantastic Four.
The Mole Man.
I thought you were trying to church it up. Moleman. Dr. Moleman, please.
Dr. Moleman.
I'm a dermatologist. if you look up Fantastic Four trivia or quizzes, you get the basic ones, right? And it's like, you know... Reed Richards' name is that kind of stuff. So I went and I found a harder one. Okay. And I'm just going to give you five questions from the harder one. Okay.
All right. Let's hear it.
Level difficult. All right. Let me open my tab here.
See what we get.
All right. In which year did the Fantastic Four debut? I do have multiple choice options.
Okay,
if you need
please it. Multiple choice. I know it's in the 60s. I just don't know.
Okay, well, this is not going to help you very much.
Okay.
1960, 1961, 1962,
1963. 63.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer. It's in the 60s.
It is incorrect.
Oh, 62?
The correct answer is 1961.
Oh, wow. Earlier than I thought.
This is like what horrible teachers do, where they give you like four dates and they're all a year apart.
Yeah. It's really good of you. In my head, I thought 67, and I don't know why. I don't know why 67 is a day that stands out.
Me too. And I think it's because of recent news coming out that I knew it was more in the early 60s, because now there's speculation on when the movie's going to take place. So, but I was like, early 60s, late 60s, 1967, was the Summer of Love, 1969. All right, second question.
Okay.
Throughout the golden age of comic books, the purchase price of a regular size comic was 10 cents. And as the so-called Silver Age began, 1956, the price remained the same. Then, in the early 1960s, the price of a regular size comic book increased to 12 cents. To 12 cents. How many issues of the Fantastic Four carried a 10-cent price tag, converting over to the twelve-cent price tag?
Travis, where the hell did you get these? These aren't Fantastic Four questions. These are like bizarro.
Okay, let me ask you this. Let me simplify the question for you. How many Fantastic Four comics sold at 10 cents before moving to the standard 12? Zero.
How many issues?
Yes, how many issues? Okay. Zero issues, one issue, two issues, four issues.
Those are the shittiest numbers. Four issues.
Man, Josh, you really know nothing about the Fantastic Four.
I know nothing about
it. Two issues. Come on, man. Everyone knows this.
Worst questions ever.
All right, question number three.
Okay.
The first issue in which the Fantastic Four were shown wearing their superhero costumes for the first time was issue number 2. True or false?
True.
False. Issue number 3. Issue number 3.
Such a bastard.
Normally you do well these quizzes, Josh. I feel like you're just blowing this one.
I am really blowing this question forward. Come on, let's go.
We got two more questions.
Okay.
All right. Everyone knows that. Okay.
Does everyone know this?
Okay, I'm gonna kind of change up the options here. Everyone knows that Mr. Fantastic and the Invisible Woman are husband and wife, but yeah. They didn't start out that way, Josh. In which issue did these two lovebirds tie the knot? Now, I'm gonna mix things up a little bit here. It was in a big annual issue, okay?
Okay.
So I'm gonna give you some annual numbers. You tell me which one it is, okay?
Okay.
Annual number one, annual number three, annual number six, or annual number nine. So do you think it happened in like that first run?
No. Early? So annuals. Annual implies that they come out once a year, which unfortunately Marvel's publishing does not always follow that model. I want to say, what were the numbers again? What options do you give me?
Annual one. Annual
one, three, two, six.
Nine.
And nine. I want to say six, but it's probably three.
It is three.
Okay, three. Okay. Yeah, three years in. That makes sense.
Yeah. And finally.
Yeah.
In one of the team's most well-written and thought-provoking stories, the Thing was replaced in the group by an evil doppelganger who nearly killed Mr. Fantastic by stranding him in the Negative Zone. What was the name of this classic tale? Now, this one you could get, because if you know one name of one Fantastic Four story, it is this one.
If I know the name of one I don't know.
I'm gonna tell it to you. I think you might. Maybe.
Is it here? Something about Galactus?
This man, this monster.
Oh, that's the title of my biography.
Yeah, this is an impossible quiz.
You picked the hardest damn quiz ever. Here are some random year trivia. Not like, what's Invisible Woman's real name?
I didn't get. Yeah, exactly.
You could have given me those ones, Travis. You could.
I didn't consent to this. It was a quick search. All right. Fantastic Four. All right. What do we think about it, Fantastic Four? So it's Marvel's first family. It's like their first team book. It's the big going out there. Marvel hadn't really played around with superhero teams. And their first team isn't just a random assortment of superheroes. It is a family dynamic, right? How much of the family dynamic plays a factor for you? Are you like, yeah, you know what? I think the thing that makes Fantastic Four great is a family dynamic. Or you're like, oh, I sometimes forget their family. Like, as a family man yourself, Josh.
I think the family aspect is what is important about them, right? If you think about every other kind of superhero team, you think of like the X-Men, they're joined together as like found family, but like what separates them from everybody else is what joins them together, right?
Yeah.
The Fantastic Four is together before they go through this thing, right? They're friends or close. I mean, Sue and Johnny, actually brother and sister before all of this happens, right? So real dynamic of them being together before this happens. And then that bonds them even more, right? So I think that separates them from any other sort of group, any other team. The Avengers, the X-Men, when we think of like the Justice League, this is the one group that they're together regardless of these powers or not.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other superhero teams that have family. There's the Bat family, of course, which over the years has gotten cumbersome.
Right, but I think I would also say that Batman's Batman before the rest of the family comes
for
in.
For a long time.
Right, so for me, I think that that's what makes the Fantastic Four special. I will also say that that's probably, as a kid, what stopped me from reading
exactly. That's what I was going to get to, is the fact that it was just like, well, no, I get every comic book to escape my family.
Well, I think that's the part of it like that ties them together. But at the same time, I'm like, ugh, do I have to? Like, there is something. And as a person who loves sci-fi, I am a sci-fi nerd. I'm super stoked to see if I'm going to go kill 3 hours today and watch Dune 2. Like, that's my plan today. Yeah, it came out this weekend, so I'm gonna go do that.
Did you do a quick side note? Did you do a Dune 1 rewatch?
No, but I've seen Dune 1 enough times, and I've read the book enough times to be good.
Not the original OG one, but the last one that came out.
Yeah, I've watched it.
I've only watched it once. I'm going to need to do a rewatch for it.
You probably will have to watch it. I heard if you go to Alamo, they're recapping Dune 1 for you before the movie.
Oh, okay. Well,
so
I mean,
you don't have an Alamo Theater. You're in Germany, so I don't know that you're going to be able to.
Oh, I thought you meant Germany. The actual historic site, which was
yes.
Cool.
If you go to the remember it, remember it.
Yeah, so don't forget Dune One. I believe is the tagline for the Alamo show. Yeah.
Remember Dune One.
Yes, that's what it was.
Yeah, I think that that's what both is important about the Fantastic Four, and also what kind of drove me away from it as a young kid.
Yes, right? I couldn't imagine that. Nothing seemed more lamer than being on a superhero team with your sister,
right? And like, ooh, they're married, right? Yeah. Like you're like, oh, you know, like I don't know, like you're a young kid, and that's the I don't know. To me, that was not that dynamic of it wasn't appealing. But I see the enduring nature of it and how you're able to tell so many different kinds of stories. I mean, we inherently try to give superheroes, writers have inherently tried to give superheroes families over and over and over again, mm-hmm. right? You talked about like the Bat family and how that grows and shifts and changes. And then we go like,
or the Summers family. Yeah.
Right. Or like, what if Peter Parker gets married? What if we find out that Scott Summers' dad is a space pirate? Right. Yeah. And he loves Jean Grey and we put them together. Right.
And so they have a kid named Cable. Wait, but is that his kid? Then there's X-Men and you're like, oh, yeah, I hate it.
So there's all of that we try to create families for these people. And I think that that's probably the important part about the Fantastic Four. And
well, it's also the hard part, too, because it's always second acts. Right. So family ultimately is the idea of like you. It can't be dysfunctional all the time, you know, like,
right.
So Spider-Man constantly is like, or now that you're married, you're not married. This person's alive. Same with the Summers family. So it's just like all these other people, they create these families and then only to after a couple of years, like, oh shoot. Like, what do we do? I mean, like he's got his family to, you know, to support him or to support her. Like, oh, we got to tear them apart. We got to have them face this on their own. So it's constantly tearing the family apart or killing off people or retconning the family aspect of it. No, it wasn't their baby. It was a clone. Right. It was a clone.
But, you know, and I think they've done that a little bit with you know, Sue, from my understanding, yes, with Sue and Mr. Fantastic's kids, right? Like Franklin, and I don't remember the girl's name. Like Franklin Valeria, being like the I most... think. Franklin being the most strongest mutant ever at some point in all of these things, right? Like they bounce back and forth.
And then their future descendants being like Kang, right?
Right.
Yeah. Or Reed Richards descendant, yeah.
But that's I think that's both the positive and the negative. So let's talk about this idea of this casting that we have, right? Now, we saw just Mr. Fantastic in Multiverse of Madness, right? So we get Mr. Fantastic showing up in Multiverse of Madness, the Doctor Strange movie, and it's John Krasinski, everybody's favorite member of The Office, as Mr. Fantastic. What did you think of that popping up, and what did you think of that casting? That's not what we're getting now. But
yeah, I think
multiverse casting.
I think the casting could have worked. I don't think, because he didn't have a lot to do, you didn't get to see his take on Mr. Fantastic, nor maybe did he come up with the one based on what he had to do. He didn't have to create any kind of dynamics between it. You didn't have to give him much of a personality other than like stately, scientific. And I wasn't a big fan of just the look of that film, like the way they shot it. It just seemed very like CG kind of thing. So like seeing him in the costume and seeing him Mr. Fantastic on the big screen.
Like the costume didn't look real?
Yeah, it didn't pop for me. So it fell flat a little bit there. So the aesthetic fell flat. I didn't get much characterization. I think John Krasinski, based on his acting chops, could bring something to that role, but... I watched that movie once and didn't have a desire to watch it again. Not that it was completely horrible. I like parts of that movie, but it was just like, it was more of like the, oh, everyone really wanted that to happen. And there were all those things about it 6 years ago and now it happened. So there was that little shot of adrenaline, but that quickly faded.
Right. I would agree with you. Cause I think he was even drawn. There was a fan casting of it on Twitter. Someone had made an image of it.
Went around for a while.
They took like the picture of him from whatever movie he was like a like a soldier in.
Yeah.
And then put the Fantastic Four.
4 hours or something. I feel like hours it was the title or something like that.
Desert something or other. And then that kind of went viral and people were like, all right, that's it. That's him. That's the guy. And so they stuck him in the movie. I was like, are they going to keep him? Because then they have to do like, that's not really him. That's the multiverse him. So how do you get, the multiverse rules in the Marvel Cinematic Universe are a little strange. Sometimes
I don't think they exist is the problem.
Well, some characters are always the same. Yeah. Doctor Strange, yeah. Always the same person.
Wolverine.
Some characters are always the same. Yeah. Wolverine. some characters are always different. Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's this interesting piece. And so I'm when they were thinking about casting it, I think for Marvel, this is the next giant casting thing, right?
Yeah.
Because I think
it's smart to start at the beginning, honestly. I'm sure they had, I'm sure they algorithms and marketing using his cameo and being like, okay, we've surveyed these people and like this, and based on how much this movie made and based on his current career and his career choices no, algorithm says no.
I also wonder if like he wanted, I mean, he's a director, he's directing movies, he's writing movies. I wonder if he was like, yeah, I want to spend the next 10 years in a Marvel costume.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, as far as directing choices, it would have been maybe interesting to put him as a director of the Fantastic Four.
So what we end up getting, the cast we end up getting is Pedro Pascal
in that role.
Who is just in everything.
Yeah.
He is like the most genre-laden actor right now.
He should be called Genre Van Damme.
He should be, yes. Pedro Jean Cal.
Damn. yeah. So, I like it.
Yeah, it's good. Past genre.
There we go. Close
yeah,
there.
He's gonna be Reed Richards. I wanna know what's your thought on him rolling into this role? I think he looks distinguished enough.
Yes. Yeah. I think he looks distinguished enough. I really like his interviews, man. I really like him as a person too. How he approaches roles. I think in even all his genre or like sci-fi roles from, you know, Star Wars to what's the zombie one and Game of Thrones and all that stuff. I feel like they're varied, you know, it's not like Schwarzenegger in a sci-fi role where it's kind of like, you know, similar. It's the same thing over and over. So I really like him. I think he has that stately aspect to him. And what I'm hoping the characterization is something I think he could play off, but he necessarily hasn't done yet. Maybe a Narcos a little bit, but not much. I want Reed Richards to be ultra cold. Like, I want him just to be super cold and, like, unpenetrable. Where, like, almost, like, on the spectrum, kind of. You know, I want him, you know, just a sense that how smart he is, that comes at a cost.
That he can't.
Socially. Got to come at as a cost socially.
Socially aloof.
And I think that someone like John Krasinski, you know, he kind of plays the everyman. You know, he doesn't have that kind of character switch. Yeah. I think Pascal has it in him to play a character, to play at a different emotional state.
I'm curious. Here's my only thing. We're doing this. He's 48. Not that the guys in the Marvel movies are young, because they make it like Tony, you know, like Tony Stark managed to age a vast amount over those, you know, 10 years and you know, but that's to me, I go like, okay, that feels old and maybe not, I guess 10 years of movies, he's 58 by if they keep doing this thing, but I guess maybe they're like, who knows how long this is going to last? Who knows what we're going to do? So let's do what we want to do.
Maybe they know something we don't.
that's my thing. Like the rest of the cast is pretty good. The cousin from the bear is playing the thing. Love it. Great.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, because it's going to be, you know,
it's going to be his voice and it's going to be his, he's from New York. So he's going to be able to do that Yancey Street sort of thing for him. It's good. I think he has like a real tough guy sweetheart vibe.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't try to do like a Batman growl, like where he tries to like put the weight on vocally, where it's just well, it's clobbering time, you know?
I don't think he'll do that. I'm hoping that that doesn't happen, right? We've got, oh man, who's...
I don't know the Joseph, the female actor. Go ahead, I know this one.
Oh, Vanessa Kirby is Game of Thrones. So she was in... She's been in a lot of stuff.
What was she in Game of Thrones?
She was in Fast and Furious.
Yeah, and she was in like Mission Impossible. Mission but I don't Impossible. Remember it. I don't, those movies, I just forget.
I swear she was in Game of Thrones. Wasn't she? She like plays one of the...
The Queen, I think she was in. Or something like
she
that.
She was in The Queen, but she was Margaret in The Queen. Maybe I'm mixing her up. Maybe she's not in Game of Thrones.
Anyway, she's kind of... I don't remember anything about any of the roles that she's done, but people seem to be happy about it, so...
I think she'll be good. I think she plays... I think her role in The Queen was... She has some really good range. I think she'll be able to bring a character... I was... Like, the whole, like... Everybody's wanting fan casting of like Margot Robbie in that role. I was like, no, we don't need that anymore.
No,
we
don't need more of that. Yeah. You know? I mean, they're putting some really dramatic actors in these roles.
And then you've got Joseph Quinn from Stranger Things,
which I'm really excited. And that's what I really love. Who's just showed enough promise, but it hasn't been given those big opportunities. This is what like Marvel used to cast as, you know, and this is what made it great. It's like those big swings, you know.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be fun. I think this is a good cast. I think it's gonna be interesting. But I'm curious, Travis, what's your feelings on Marvel movies shows right now? Where are you at?
Just really burnt out on them. Isn't any kind of like a hot new take, certainly online and things like that. I just haven't been watching them. I can't remember if I got through the Agents of, or the Nick Fury one. It came out for free, the Ms. Marvel one to watch. And I was like 5 minutes. I was like, nope. Or the Marvels.
Yeah.
And then there was another, I didn't even watch the new What Ifs yet. Don't think I'm going to, I just haven't been excited, but and this is why they do this stuff, you know, Marvel does it to you all every time. This makes me excited watching Fantastic Four.
Well, because it's big and it's new, right? It's not a continuation of something else. We're not going to come back to Ant-Man. We're not coming back to, you know, a character that I was like, well, the first movie was okay, right? Do I need a second movie, right? Like Doctor Strange. Oh, Doctor Strange 2. The reason why I want to go see Doctor Strange 2? Multiverse. That's why they got me. Okay, right. Explain it.
And it's also because of the casting. They're not casting a Jennifer Lawrence. They're not casting a Margot Robbie. They're casting people who do interesting work, you know?
Yeah, I'll be interested. I think for me, I'm in the same place. I watched all but the last episode of that Nick Fury one. I was like, I was like, all right, I got it. I get what it is.
Yeah.
I watched one episode of the new Loki. I really liked the first season.
Oh, I did watch that. I watched all that. Yeah.
I watched the first season, really enjoyed the first season, but I just think, and that was the one I was looking forward to was two. But I think because of all the TV shows in between Loki season one and Loki season two, I'm like, I can't.
And Loki season 2 wasn't great, no.
And I saw the Marvels. Renner and I saw it in theater, and it was okay. I mean, it was cute. But again, I think...
Ant-Man 3? Ugh.
No.
I don't even think I finished it.
They did this... So I think they spread out all these movies, and instead of them having a storyline they're kind of following where we're introducing people to get them together. Now they're together. Now they have to solve big problems. Right. And then we went into the second round of introducing all of these characters. And we introduced so many of them while we're still going back to these original characters or the second wave of original characters. And it just felt like it got too big and no direction. And again, you just said it earlier, this isn't a hot take, right? Kind of where people are at. And I think that that's kind of what burned me out. And I'm hoping that Fantastic Four brings us back in,
Yeah.
That it gives us something to focus in on and gives us a hold on it. And I will also say that I'm interested in seeing Deadpool 3 only so I can see.
Yeah, but that to me stands separately. It's like, right. It's kind of, I mean, that's Ryan Reynolds has like a tight grasp over that, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, I think Marvel takes his directions more from him as a producer than Marvel coming in and making choices with Feige and stuff like that. But it reminds me of Josh as a teacher when, like, you had that year and trying out a bunch of new stuff you were really excited about, and it's just not working.
Yeah. Right?
So then you're like, you bring in something that has always worked, but with like a little bit of a new twist on it, and you're like, okay, this is going to clear the decks, and then if they like this, then we have a starting point for a new direction.
Right.
If we don't, like, then it's going to be a rough year.
I think that that's what we're going to get with this movie, and I think it's either going to be, okay, we've done it, we've got something. I think they just need to pause every TV show.
Yeah, because that's the thing, is like, even if it works, right, they probably still have three or four other things in production that aren't tied to that or the same vibe or anything like that, because they didn't know if it was going to work or not, and they have to start producing these movies, you know.
Yeah,
so we're gonna get all excited because it was great, and then see three movies that were different shots.
Right We're gonna see and That's the thing that I think will be interesting. Like, how do we get all that? How do we tie all this stuff together? It felt like there's been like a million loose ends at the end of every Marvel movie that have not paid off.
Yeah.
And I'm just, and I just feel like, I don't know that there's anything that'll make them pay off.
I'll tell you what, I don't want to know what the next Marvel movie is beyond the next one coming out. Like, that should be top secret. I don't want to know. I don't want slates. I don't want, like, here's our next 10 years of Marvel junk anymore. I just want, like, wait, the next Marvel movie's coming out is Fantastic Four. What could happen after that? That gives them the opportunity to change course, like, bury movies if they want, burn them, like, bury them with the like E.T. DC, video DC's, games.
DC's like, we did a Batwoman movie. We're not going to do it anymore.
Yeah.
So I think you can see the burnout in... I mean, Sony makes terrible superhero movies, but no one saw Madam Web.
Yeah, I heard it's horrible. Yeah. Oh, I guess everyone's heard it's horrible. Yeah.
Did Kraven come out? Or we?
No, and that was the only one that I was like interested in even seeing. And now I was like, you know what? Like, I don't even want to give him my interest. I don't want to even give him that headspace. Not just my dollars. I don't want to give him my like real estate in my mind.
Right. So I think that there is this burnout from superhero stuff. And I think Marvel has to be careful about what they're doing. I mean, look, I am very close to, like, maybe because it's just there and I haven't dropped my Disney Plus, but I'm like, I could drop my Disney Plus subscription. Like, I haven't watched anything on it in months.
Yeah.
Right.
If a kid is not watching anything on it, then yeah, definitely.
Right. And it just becomes this thing. I'm like, okay, ugh. Like, I'm just kind of burnt out on it all. And that's weird. Like, as guys who read comic books all the time, and literally I've read in the last 2 months, I've got a giant list of stuff I've read. Right. Like, that's what I'm like kind of been doing. Right. And to me, it just goes like, okay, as someone who loves comic books and loves the genre, I don't know what has to change in order for me to get back into movies, or if I'm just like, you know what, I'm done with that. I don't need that right now. I think we need to have, I will tell you what I'm really excited about. I'm excited about the new Superman. And that seems crazy to me because all the DC movies were just bad. And now I'm like,
well, we
I don't
just
know,
had
James
that Superman
Gunn.
Summer too, which, you know,
right.
We spent,
I'm like, James Gunn, a fresh start. Let's do it. I think if Marvel were like, we're cleaning the slate, Fantastic Four is actually, we're rebooting the universe with Fantastic
yes.
Four. I'd be like, hell yes, let's do it, right? Yeah. I'd be like, okay, I'm in. I want to see what we do now. But
yeah, it's going the same way.
The comic books go.
Yes, and it was so at the beginning. It was the same way at the beginning. Like, oh my gosh, it's like serial, but there is continuity.
Right.
You know, they stand on their own, but they also work together. This is what's great about comics. This is, as a kid, this is that thing that made you come back to the spinner rack every week. But then all of us who'd done that, we all got out, and we all got out mostly for that same reason: one, age, which is a factor here, and two, just unwieldy on the unwieldiness of this continuity.
Just too much.
And
just
we saw
over,
this
man.
Dark cloud at the beginning, like phase one, you're like, okay, cool. Phase two, they're holding it together. Phase three, okay. Phase what? Four? Are we still calling this a phase? Is this
yeah.
Is this Heroes Reborn? Is this Marvel Knights? They try to do things like that. No, this isn't Marvel. This isn't Marvel Hopper. No, it's Sony Marvel. It's this, yeah. You know, it's Marvel Knights. It's Heroes Reborn. It's.
Yeah, I think I'm in the vein of like, I would, if we reset the deck, I'd be perfectly okay.
Yeah.
I think I'd be fine. But I think people care so, I think it's the same thing you get in comic books, right? Like people care so much about those movies, right? And they just want those things to continue to exist. And they do. They're still there. You can go back and watch them. But I think at some point we got to go, all right, let's shuffle the deck. Let's start over with Fantastic Four and X-Men being our anchors of the world. And let's just do it. Let's just start it over. You
because
know?
Unlike comic books, which is paper, pen, and ink, these movies cost a lot of money to make. And they are preventing other movies from being made. So it's not just like, hey, I don't care if it's good or bad. It's like having them. There is a cost to it. How many other great movies and great ideas are out there that we aren't exploring? But as far as what we should explore, Josh, since we were talking about Fantastic Four and then we were talking about comic books, I'm thinking maybe we should fill in this Fantastic Four comic book hole.
I think you're right. And I'm going to play a hand for the audience. We are reading a Fantastic Four book.
So what?
Next episode, Travis and I sat down and we read Fantastic Four. Whatever happened to the Fantastic Four? The new version, because Travis and I are like, let's start fresh with a fresh take. And so we're reading the newest version by Ryan North. It's volume one. Art by Ivan Soello and Ivan Fiorelli, the Italians bringing out the art, I think.
Covers by Alex Ross.
Yeah, Alex Ross covers. They look beautiful. Those covers look fantastic. So that's what we're reading on the next episode, folks. We hope you tune in. Thank you for listening to our conversation about the Fantastic Four. We'll see you next week as we read this. You can find the podcast over at comicexposure.com. Follow us, rate us, review us on your favorite podcast app, whatever it is. Tell your grandma about us, and we'll see you next trade.